Hebrews chapter 4. The good thing is, as I always say, the scripture like three or four times to let it catch up. Hebrews 4. All right, and we're going to look at verse 1 again. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. All right. Really, that's the whole issue of chapter 3 and 4, is that there is a concern that we not enter into the rest that the Lord has provided. Okay? And everything being said here is to show us the pattern of those who failed, to encourage us to discover this rest, and to do it, you need to sort of know what the rest is. You need to know what the promise was, because it says, "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." And it's interesting, the use of the word promise, because the word promise is connected to the new covenant. Whereas under the old covenant, you are responsible for doing the right thing. Okay. I can't remember exactly where it is. I know it's in Galatians, but there's a scripture that's very similar to some of these that are being used right here in Hebrews, where it says something about falling short of the grace of God. I think it's in Galatians. Maybe it's even here in chapter. You know, no, it's not. Let me just look. I'm thinking now it might be in Hebrews. Hebrews 12:15. See, I'm pretty good in the scriptures too. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Okay, just stop right there and consider that. Didn't say looking diligently, lest we fall short of the plan of God, or the commands of God, or the. You see what I'm saying? How do you fall short of the grace of God? See? And these are questions. Do you see how important it is to ask questions in your own mind, not to just read over stuff? Ask questions. You know, what? How do you fall short of the grace of God? I thought the grace of God covered everything. All right. Back to Hebrews 4. So what we need to do is look at what was the promise made to Israel that concerned rest, and how that promise and how that rest applied to Christ, so that we can see it in the shadow, and it'll help us also to get the form of it to be able to see it in the book of Hebrews. So turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6. And we'll start at verse 10. I'll just read a couple of verses here. Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verse 10. All right. "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. All right. Well, here we are. We're given the explanation of the promise, and we're given the explanation of the rest. It starts with verse 10 when he makes this statement. Which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So he's stating in Hebrews that this promise was not just to Israel. It doesn't just go back to Israel. It doesn't go back to the day that they didn't enter in because of unbelief, or those who did enter in because they believed. It's literally going back all the way to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And it's saying, this is the same promise that he was making to them. All right. Now, one thing we know from Galatians is that Abraham was not under the law. The law didn't come till later on. So everything to him was by what? Promise. It was by promise. Promise, that's different. That's different than, if you'll do this, I'll do that. You see what I'm saying? If you do this, then I'll do that. Now he's saying, I promise you that this is what's going to happen if you enter into my rest. Okay? We're going to give more explanation than this, but I'm wanting you to see, the reason why I'm emphasizing this, I'm wanting you to see that this is not some ethereal thing that we're trying to figure out. This is all the way back to Genesis.
Yes.
It is the foundation of the plan of God. It is the very thing that in shadow form goes all the way through the Old Testament and comes and hits us in the face in Hebrews and says, beware lest you don't enter into this rest. Notice the words beware here. Where is it? Verse 12. Then beware lest. Isn't that interesting? That it's using the same language even here. All right. So now remember, this is in shadow form. This is a representation of that reality. But in a certain sense, the faith required is the same. And during the break, Matt came to me with some scriptures on that faith, and I'll be dealing with that probably after Brother Lumen is gone, then my next class after this one. Because we need to see that, because, you know, not being mixed with faith, you know, I mean, they got everything except the faith part of this thing. And so there is this reality. And you know what? We're going to get into that in Hebrews 11, because that's the faith chapter. Right? And we're going to find out the absolute true meaning of faith. And it's going to be a shocker. But a good one. We're going to enjoy it. All right. So here he goes. He's saying this is what I promised to everybody before you, and I'm promising it to you, and that's what he's saying here in Deuteronomy, and that's what he's saying it to Hebrews. This is what God promised. This is what the whole thing is about, and I'm presenting it to you. Will you respond as the house to the Son? Right. So here's the shadow form of that. He said, I swore that I would do this. The last part of verse 10, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. All right. We're starting to see a pattern of what's going to follow in the next two verses. We're seeing that what he is promising is coming out of him. It is something that is already there that we step into, or we enter into something that he has already settled and done. Goodly cities which thou buildest not. Verse 11. And houses full of good things which you filled not. It's better than a game show. Because in a game show, you won it. But this is something that was already there. It is provision beyond your wildest abilities. Notice I didn't say dreams. Because some of you people can really dream. You are real dreamers. This is beyond our ability to do. It is entering into something that has already been done and fulfilled. Good things. And wells digged, which thou diggest not. That almost sounds like a hippie, doesn't it? Dude, you didn't dig that? Vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Now, okay, so basically, he's talking about something that is full and is going to fill you. You're entering into fullness, trees and cities and vineyards and houses. Fullness is entering into you, which you shall eat and be made full. Folks, that's the Son. That's the promise of the Son, that the substance of God Himself will fulfill everything that the Father wants by the Son, that if you will enter into this reality and let it become your life, your reality, then all of these things are promised to you. Amen. That by Christ, the fulfillment is yours. All right? And so... But then with this stipulation, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, and then verse 12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. All right. What do you think the great sin was? Unbelief. They began to rely on themselves. They said, we can't go in here and defeat these giants. We can't go in there. They're looking to themselves and their own ability. And I just want to tell you right now, you are not the standard of what you can do and cannot do. Jesus is the standard. You can't look at something and go, I can't do that. You have to look at it and say, Jesus, you're my life. If you want it done, do it through me. Yes. You know? And trust Him, because it has to be mixed with faith. Amen? There's more to it. I'm trying to give it to you through this shadow thing here. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And here there is a transfer from one house to the other. And there is one person and one person alone who has caused you to make that trip successfully from one to the other. And that's the Lord. And He said, don't forget it. Why? Why? Well, because the Lord's real vain and He wants you to, you know, really give Him, you know, glory about everything. And, you know, He wants you to go, well, I didn't forget what you did for me. And, you know, you're really cool. And He goes, yeah, thanks. No, not at all. Because He is the source. And you leave your source, you're in trouble. In Him we live and move and have our being. And there is that reality that God said to Abraham, and we'll get into the faith of this thing, as I said. But God said to Abraham, in thy seed shall all these things take place. Yes?
Lord, He's blessed and God blesses you. And when you put a family before you, remember about the promise and all the grain, even that He's in inconvenience, remember Him. And our daily walk with Him, and our daily pilgrimage with Him, often members tell us pleasures to remember Him when first created us our mother's womb, that we would never forget the promises He made for us, the covenant, the promises He has for us, the fruits of Spirit, the promise of freedom, all the God's way, a total joy and happiness, agape love, peace. That's the problem the prophecy has for us, that if we abide with him, if we don't abide with him, we do it on our own. Those are things a little major anymore.
Amen. Well, let me draw that. We're the house. Amen? We're the house. You've got to remember that. We're the house. And we, in the old covenant, God made promises. But in the new covenant, the Son, and we'll see this, the Son is what's promised because he's the one that it brings forth all the vineyards. It's all him. It's not, he doesn't promise us vineyards, he promises us the Son. And the Son brings forth all of these things. The Son fills us. The Son is what is everything to the Father. And that's why I said, in time past, we dealt with prophets and people who spoke my word. You know, the house got all this good stuff. Now, it's all over with. There's one. And you're in the one. So quit trying to get the promises, because in verse 2 it says, who is heir of all things? Yay. Yeah, he's heir of all of it. But who lives inside of us? The one who gets it all. Therefore, we get it all. You see what I mean?
Yes.
You know, it's like if my wife gave me a banana split and she would look into my eyes as she held it and she says, I got this banana split for you because I know you love it. I would look at it and I would look at her and I would go, thank God. And I would eat it. But my body, the house, it's in there going, this is good. I'm getting it too, right? The tummy, the taste buds, right? But who really inherited that? I did. Me. I got it from her. She gave it. She didn't go, well, your body looks a little skinny. I think I'm going to give you, you know, well, maybe she might, but not, she wouldn't. She wouldn't. But that wasn't the way it came. It came because me that's in here, in the house, is the one that she was addressing this to. But the house is going, whoopee, because we're one with him. We can eat that. And we're all enjoying it together, right? Why? Why are we all enjoying it together? Why? Because we're one. We're one. See? And so he can be heir of all things as long as we get to be his body. See, we're not going, well, how, why does he get everything? There's no jealousy in this thing because it all comes to us and, you know, by Christ. All right. Let's go to chapter 8 now of Deuteronomy. Now we're going to get to the good stuff. There's a lot of stuff here, but... we'll just start at verse 1. By the way, I will say, I came in here tonight with a horrible headache that I've had since I woke up this morning, and the Lord has healed me of it. And I just love the Lord for every little thing. Forget not any of his benefits, the scripture says, you know. But there are benefits of oneness. You do know that, don't you? We are one. We're his body. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead quicken our mortal flesh because we're his body. Okay, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do that you may live. And of course, the purpose of the commandments is to live. And it says in Galatians, had there been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness would have been by the law. So what is the issue?
Life.
That you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware to give unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to test thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commands or not. All right. So he's starting to set up something here. They haven't entered into the land yet. Right? This is before they've entered into the land, but this is the promise of entering into the land, isn't it? But now he's talking about the process of entering into the promise, of entering into the rest. There's a process. Romans 8, what does it say? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who are in union with Christ Jesus. There's not any condemnation, okay? Where'd that come from? Well, Romans 7, going through all this horrible, oh, wretched man that I am and everything. And that's what he's saying right here in verse 2. He's saying, I want you to remember all this junk that you've been through and how I proved you and proved you what? Unfaithful. The house is a mess and wretched without the inhabitant, the son. And he's saying, I brought you this way. To teach you. Okay, so let's read on. Verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. You didn't just hunger, you suffered. Suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. All right, so where's that manna coming from? The source, the sun, the reality that is outside of them at this point, but is meant to. They're eventually meant to look to this son within. Okay. So they're finding out all this stuff about themselves. And neither did thy fathers know that he might make thee know that man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And that was the temptation of the devil. The devil said to Jesus, if you are the son, if you're the son, then go do so-and-so. And his response was always towards the Father. I don't know if you've ever looked at it, but he's in the same boat that we were in. We're in a situation where he's our source. He lived in a situation where the Father was his source. The principle is the same. So he goes, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. See? He's fulfilling this because only the Son did it right. Everybody, and you know, you do realize it says that he was taken into the wilderness. Sounds like a template to me. Sounds like a template to me that can be laid over and over and over. Pray that God opens your eyes to the templates, and that will open your eyes to the Word. Okay? All right, there's more. Verse 4, thy raiment grew not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. And see, that's in Hebrews 2, because here's what he's saying. He's saying, I was dealing with you as my son. And that's what he says. If he does da-da-da-da, he dealeth with thee as sons. And he's saying, but he's dealing with you as the son. And if he didn't care, if you were just an empty, old, run-down house, he wouldn't care. But you got the son in you, and he deals with you as the son. Amen. So we go, what? Why are you chasing me? Well, because I'm dealing with you in son. Amen. That changes everything. Yes! Amen. Anybody see that? That really should change everything. I'm really running late, so I need to keep... All right, because I've got a mess of scriptures here that I've got to cover. Okay, so notice that their raiment didn't grow old, that God was taking care of them, he was leading them, and the only reason why they're making it is because God is their provision, or their, if they really understood it, folks, listen to this, he would be their rest, but they never entered into the rest. They should have rested in all of this, but they're too busy going, and they're viewing him as outside of them instead of in them. Even putting the manna, he put it in them. All right, so let's keep going here. Verse 6, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him, and that means reverence him because you are embracing him. You're finding him as this source. He is the substance of God. He is your source, and you honor him in the way that the Father honors him. He is the length and the breadth and the height and the depth. I'm nothing except in union with him, and then I have all things. See? Verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. Who did? A land of brooks of waters, water of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of olive oil and honey, and dang, I want to go there. I'm there. I'm in Son. That's the fulfillment, folks. You know why it doesn't sound so good to everybody? You want to know why? Because if you don't live that way and somebody teaches you that, you go, oh, that's great. Praise God. I think I'd rather be in the time of Israel. That was a shadow. It's because we have not entered into his rest. And Hebrews isn't talking in the air. He realizes that Christians among the believers are unbelievers. You know what I'm saying? Because he said unbelief. Unbelief about what? I don't believe there's a God. That's not what he's talking about. Israel believed there was a God. Israel believed in it. Remember all the things we marked down? All the things that Christians believe in. But in Hebrews, he's saying, look, the Son is supposed to be inhabiting the house. And he said in verse 14 of that same chapter, that we might become partakers of Christ. Is it getting more clear? I mean, what it's talking about. It is that Christ may live in us instead of us trying to do our best for God. Amen. Or always crying over our failures. If you are failing constantly, you're still in the wilderness, and it's a good thing because guess what? You're coming to the edge of the land, and if you'll believe in the Son, that is the land, and that's what springs forth all these things by life. All right. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. Thou shalt not lack anything. Oh, I'm sorry, there's two words after that. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. Yeah. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass or bronze. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. So he's saying, okay, I led you through this wilderness. I took you through this suffering. I allowed hunger. I put you through stuff. And what you're supposed to read into that is all the stories in Numbers and Deuteronomy and Exodus. Because that's what it is. It's a summation of that. You're supposed to go, well, when they ran out of bread, they went, God, where's our bread? And when they didn't have water, they went, where's water? But the Lord was always the rock that was smitten at the cross and opened up. He was always the answer. He was always the fulfillment for them. And they're supposed to learn two things. One, we are really wretched people without the Son inhabiting us. We're pitiful. All right? If you don't, and here's the deal. If you haven't learned that lesson yet, oh baby. Well, I mean, it's the journey. Yes. You have to. And if you make the journey, who wants to make the whole stinking journey from Egypt all the way to the edge of the land and then stand in unbelief and go, God can't help us. We're like grasshoppers compared to these giants. Well, the Lord isn't like a grasshopper compared to these giants. They're a bunch of sissies. Do you see what the scriptures are saying? But it's also saying at the same time he did this to test you and show you what's in your heart. Because he knew what was in your heart. This isn't about him knowing what's in, you know what I mean? He knows what you're made of. Your flesh. All flesh is like the grass, and the glory of the flesh is like a flower. It appears for a while and then it fades. Flesh, you know. You'll never maintain it by that. Get a desire to go after Jesus and to get Jesus. Let all of that stuff fly in your face and show you what you are without Jesus, but then start recalling all of the way that he brought you. Well, our shoes never wore out. Well, he did bring us, he did take care of us, he did all of this. But he's trying to show you something different here. In the wilderness, he really is outside giving them manna and protecting them from enemies and doing all this stuff. He's not in them yet, is he? But he's leading them that way so that they will see the contrast of, you know what? I think we're just supposed to be the vessel because we're not very good at driving. You know what I mean? I don't think we're supposed to be the driver. You know, because I've wrecked this car 2,552 times, you know what I mean? So they look within and they go, you know, we are a failure. Oh my God. But that's not the end of it. They look to the sun and they go, you know, everything has really been fine through him, but they're supposed to make one more step, and that is, you know, I think I'd like this sun in me. I want to live as the house. Well, that's what God always wanted. That's what he always wanted. You know, and the example of that is in the wilderness. They came out of the wilderness. Came out of Egypt, and they were God's people, right? We're God's people. We read the word. We pray. We believe in miracles. God's done this and that, da-da-da-da. And God says, well, you're really missing something here. What is it? So he sets up a tabernacle, a house, right in the middle of them, so they're all going, hey, look there. Wonder what that there's a big house in the middle of us. We didn't used to be this way. What the heck is that thing? And then go over, and then God's dwelling in there. You know, the Shekinah glory is over, and God's dwelling there. And they go, that's funny. What's God trying to tell us? I mean, he done miracles, and he blessed us, and he protects us. He's always watching over us, and now he's in the midst of us, and he's in the midst of this house, and I don't get it. Well, that's pretty much us. That's us. Because that template fits all the way through, and for those that are that way. Somebody's supposed to go, oh my God, you know what I think? God initiated all this. I think he wants us to be his house, and he wants to dwell in us and live in us. And we be the vessel, and he be the source. Cool. Anybody hear David talking here? David got all that stuff. Okay, we still got quite a few more scriptures here, so... Verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. And remember that beware was in chapter 6, and it's also in Hebrews 3 and 4, where he's saying, look, beware lest the promise being given to you of entering in, you seem to fall short of it. Huh? All right, so let's read it. Verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commands and his ordinances and the statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold are multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God. Not just forget the Lord thy God. It didn't say don't forget. Okay, I'll never forget God. That's what we say. And that's what we say that's saying. But he says, don't forget the Lord thy God who brought thee out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness with all of that stuff, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might test thee to do thee good at thy latter end. Because the wilderness is a tough deal. It's not the latter end. It is to bring you to the conclusions we've already discussed. It's the latter end of being found in Son and the Son being found in you. That's the good. That's the plan. That's the promise. That's the rest that we're supposed to be entering into. I know you think I'm finished. I'm not. Verse 17, "And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth." Oh my God, do you see it? You see it? What is... How best can I describe that verse in our chart on the board? Erase the sun out of the house. My hand, I did this. Well, first of all, you didn't do it. And you remove yourself from the sun, you're putting yourself in jeopardy. On a million fronts, you know. I mean, it's one thing to be ignorant of this. It's one thing to be ignorant of this and to completely not, you know, okay, well, I'm living my life for Jesus. That's wrong. It's supposed to be the Son. That's one thing. It's another thing to know you're supposed to, and then he starts living and doing all this stuff, and then eventually somehow you turn, and it's all, I did this. Oh, my God, you have. I cannot even speak of the violation of the Son. Yes.
Isn't that kind of like really... when he's talking about, you know, don't forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and then he's, what you're reading there, and he's saying, you know, that in your heart you would say that I did this. And it's kind of like, I don't know, I was just seeing it like that. That's the mentality that they had when they were in Egypt, where even though they're in bondage, but I just kind of had this picture of them, they're, you know, they're making the bricks, and they're doing all this labor, and they're building those things, and that, like, at the end of the day, because the things they were building there were huge monuments.
Absolutely.
And that, you know, that everybody who's ever built anything has done that. You stand back and you go, man, I built that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like they're carrying that mentality. Don't forget the Lord brought you out of that.
Right.
Otherwise, you'll return to that. Right. You're bringing it right in with you. You know what I mean?
Well, and the thing is... we almost have to read verse 18 with this, with verse 17 to get the full picture. So let's read 17 again and then go into 18. "And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But," all right, so "but" is what kind of a word? It's a conjunction, and it is tying two thoughts together. "And" is a conjunction also, and that ties them together in agreement. And in a following forth of something. But the conjunction "but" is saying this is one thing, but this is something contrary to that. So let me tell you, I know that sounds really simple and whatever, but when you read the Word of God, it helps to notice the wherefores and the that it might come, you know what I mean? And the, all those things, it really... to me, they just light up the passage so that I realize we've got a contrast here. The law of contrast is at work in this verse, and I want to get it. Okay, so now I'm going to read 17 again, then 18. "And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God." No. You need to remember the Lord. You need to remember, and in this case, and in the New Testament, because remember, this is a shadow. This is what you remember, folks. This is the fulfillment. This is not a shadow. You remember the Son lives in you. You remember you're joined to the Son. You don't go back on that. And, you know, I've seen, I'm going to tell you right now, I've seen people come here, go all the way through Bible school, hear everything that you hear, and go out and totally go back because, you know, they didn't hear. They went places, churches and stuff that didn't teach this, and run into them later and they go, "Well, I'm just doing the best I can for Jesus." And I'm thinking, you know, how far to the edge of Egypt are you now? You know, have you gone all the way back? You know, instead of dwelling in the land, you're literally one step away from going back in under Pharaoh. You know, I mean, you talk about a wide circle of wandering. You have really gone far away. "Beware lest thou forget." And the New Testament is saying this is the fulfillment of it. He's the one that fulfills all these things. And he's the only one, chapter 1 and 2, he's the only one that will fulfill the heart of the Father. So why... Because we go into a service and somebody starts teaching the law and says, well, you need to try harder, you need to pray harder, you need to give your more time to searching the scriptures as if you're going to earn it. You understand what I'm saying? I certainly wish you would pray and search the scriptures and stuff, but not as if you're going to earn something, as if by your might you do this. Does that make sense? Amen. But rather, I want to see Jesus. I want to see, Lord, reveal your Son in me. And I, you know, and I have a hard time with, I don't know how anybody can go through the wilderness like I went through Romans 7, and I'm no example, you know, so we'll stick with the wilderness of Romans 7. But how you go through that and not see absolutely so stinking clearly that I'm not it. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the one. I am not worthy to even touch his shoelaces. But there's one coming after me. There's one going to come forth in me, and he is the one, and I'm sticking with him, and I'm declaring him. And they said to John the Baptist, well, who are you? He said, I'm nobody. I'm not it. But Jesus is it. But it goes further than that, because there is nothing in me. I saw my absolute lack in this, and then I saw the absolute, I could never measure up to Jesus anyway. And even if I perfectly measured up to Jesus, the Father will choose the Son, his substance, over me every time. Because he's the substance, and I'm just trying to copy it. Kim, did you have something you wanted to share?
Just like what Matt was saying, I was noticing that too, because we had a class one time, and real quick, they said, if you have any questions, you know, right now we're just going to go through real quick. You just ask these questions, write them down, and bring them back. I wrote them down and brought them back, and I was like, that is so not the Lord. But then I remember, what is the Lord? What is the Lord? What am I doing? And it's according to the word of the Lord. So that's what it is. And just like what Matt said, when they said, well, when our father brought us out of Egypt and we're going to testify to our sons, then you shall say to your son, we were slaves in Pharaoh, Egypt, and the Lord brought us from Egypt with a mighty hand. So that's the testimony, because really, really what I wrote down was totally from me. It was from Kim. It was from her soul. It was from her, sure. her issues and baggage.
Right.
So I was like, are you serious? I wrote this down. I erased it because I wasn't going to ask that question.
Sure.
But then I said, well, what is it, Lord? And I went into Psalms and I read it, and it said, I'm not kidding you, it said, according to the word. And then it was just like, right. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Or you know, he makes me lie down and green pastures, according to the word of the Lord.
Right.
And then if they said, what's your question? My question would be, you know, what did I get from the word? So that is going forth.
Right.
That's so good.
That's right. Absolutely. And the finishing off of this verse here, notice what it says. Verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he who giveth thee power to get wealth. That, and here's the deal, that he may establish his covenant which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. In other words, as it was in that day, he wants it to be in this day. Well, that was Genesis. We're now in Deuteronomy. You go over to Psalm 95 with David. As it is in this day, and then right down to our day, God is doing these things so that he might establish his covenant with us. And that covenant is the new covenant based on us being... The example it's given in Hebrews is us being the house and the son being the one that lives in it. Okay, that's the Hebrews example. The John 15 example is he wants to be the vine and we're his branch. And the branch, when plugged into that vine, ends up with the same exact life that the vine has. It's not a different life. It's not trying hard. It's not like, I'm just puny branch. I'm trying so hard. Well, stop it and get filled with the life, you know. And then the example of, you know, an earthen vessel or something like that. And he's the one. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Or the example of the body. All of these examples of what the church are, what the believer is supposed to be, are examples of us being the vessel of his life. So what is he saying? Beware lest you forget this. Beware lest... does anybody see the value of a place like this existing? Because if you you hear this in one place, because I do conferences everywhere, and I'll be in some place and I'll preach Christ, and I'm the only one probably ever preach Christ in that place, and then leave, and then the people go right back to the same old teaching. You need to be holy. We didn't say be holy. He said be holy as he is holy, and he's your life. He is holiness, and he'll be. He didn't say do holy. He said be. And be is a being word that relates to the substance of Christ within you. And so they go right back to, and our ears are so attuned to that. Let me tell you, to break with that, it takes we always say it takes an act of Congress. It takes an act of God. It takes the cross. It takes a death. But it also is the most glorious thing because, we read all that in chapter 6 and 8 about all this that's coming up. You will inherit this, and you'll have this, and you'll enter into this, and all this fullness, and he just goes in a land that flows with milk and honey and everything. Well, look around, honestly now, look around Christianity. Where do you see that? Well, I got news for you. You're not going to see it outwardly manifested in the form of, well, look how that church is rich and got all this stuff. You're going to see it in the life of those who have Christ, and they're just bubbling with wells, and they're just overflowing with wheat and barley. And do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, you'll meet somebody that they got so much Jesus, you're just going, oh my God, there's the fulfillment of it right there. and you're just going, that's it. But see, we're still in our mind. We keep looking for some big old thing that's going to impress everybody, and they'll go, oh, it's Jesus. Jesus himself. It wasn't us or Jesus in us. Himself walked around. And everybody didn't go, oh, it's him. They ran. And it says this. They went after him for the miracles. They went after him for the loaves and fishes. The multitudes did. And when the time came to hang him on the cross, they all either ran and hid or yelled, crucify him, or didn't stand up for him. Okay? So the only hope that we have is this journey that God has us on, and that we fulfill the purpose for that journey. The first part is to come to an end of ourselves where we will embrace the cross. The second part is to allow Christ to be the resurrection in us. Me and Doug were talking. I love talking with him. And he said, well, there's really only two steps to this plan. because we're always saying, well, 12-step program or, all this. As a matter of fact, for example, if I said, well, there's really only two steps to this plan, so I'm gonna write a book and get it published. If I took that to the publishers and said, well, step one is you have to die on the cross, and step two has to be Christ. Well, first of all, if he still was interested in the book, he would say, well, you can't just write a book on two steps. I want you to make up some more. I mean, that's what they would say, because it's not going to be interesting if it's just two steps. I'm going to, you got to have like at least 12, And the more you have, the more people are going to go, okay, well, they'll try harder, Death, that's chapter one. Resurrection, that's Christ, chapter two. What do you think? He said, I don't think we're going to use your book. Well, then, I would ask him, does your publisher still publish this book?
Yeah.
Well, that's what it's, two steps. Anyway, I need to quit. Gosh, don't you see? Do you agree with me that this is just incredible scripture? Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 8, and then just incredible breathing of this whole truth of Hebrews that it's trying to communicate, and it is right down the line with Hebrews of entering into rest. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for the breath of God that breathes reality into us, that we see Jesus by revelation. that we know of whom we are and we know whom we believe, and that we embrace this Son, not just as our helper, but as our life. And we embrace your plan that was always, from Genesis to now, always, that we be a vessel of the life of Christ, the Son, the one in whom you are well pleased. So help us to hear and to grow and to seek with all of our heart and to pant after you as the deer pants after the water brooks, and to, Lord, to even David who wrote that, even till we come to such a place as David where we love nothing but you, Lord. Everything can be counted loss for that. We ask it by your grace and by the intent of your heart in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed.